More than 900 National Institutes of Health research grants have been terminated so far. Lawsuits have been filed against the NIH, NIH Director Dr. J. Bhattacharya, the Department of Health and Human Services, and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. over the cancellation of the grants. Max Kozlov is an environmental reporter at Nature magazine. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with him about the termination of the grants when the total number of cancellations was less than 900 and what that means for health-related scientific research.
The National Institutes of Health, how vital an institution is that in the United States? How would you rate the importance of it?
It's enormous. It funds more than $47 billion of biomedical research. And so not only is it an enormous player in the United States, it's the largest public funder of biomedical research in the world. And so researchers around the world look to the agency to fund the important work on cancer, Alzheimer's, neuroscience, you name it, they turn to the NIH.
So what's going to be lost with these cuts in the NIH?
Hundreds of NIH grants have been terminated based on their topic or based on their institution, which is what we're seeing at Columbia University. This is all unprecedented. And so not only are the topics that the administration finds problematic, such as vaccine hesitancy, studying why people are hesitant to get a vaccine, or about transgender health, or about COVID-19. This list is growing. Not only are those studies impacted, but it's having ripple effects throughout the entire biomedical research community because people are unable to plan their research accordingly, hire grad students, hire technicians, because they don't know if their lab, regardless of what it's studying, is going to be able to have the commitment that they received from the agency to go about their work. So there's been ripple effects on all of it, on cancer work, on work to understand dementia, clinical trials to get more data for new pharmaceuticals, all of it. There's been a lot of worry and anxiety among researchers.
Do you get the impression that the Trump administration doesn't think a lot of the research NIH does is important, or do you think that maybe they do think some of it's important, but they'd like to transfer to the private sector?
Yeah, I think it's a part of the Trump administration's plan to reshape and dismantle the federal government. I think that's one part of it. I think they'd like to see states have more power than the federal government in this capacity. That's one part of it. I think it's also, and this is what we're seeing at Columbia and now at other elite universities, it's a disdain and it's an effort to undermine the institution of the university and of higher education. And so I think that could explain the administration's actions. And it's really to exert control and power over the types of research and the types of activities that are permissible to get federal funding for. I think all of those things could explain what we're seeing now. But lost in that crusade, that battle, is so many research fields that are collateral damage.
Could you talk about that? It's kind of like if an auto plant shuts down, all the suppliers will shut down too, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of what I was mentioning. I've heard running a successful research lab described as kind of like a small business, and funding at NIH is often doled out in increments of, their awards are for 5 years or so. They're given money each year as part of that. And when you get that 5-year award, you think that that's a commitment that the agency will fund you. And what we're seeing now is that commitment being pulled under the rug of researchers around the country and around the world. And so it's hard to, as I mentioned, hire lab personnel to purchase supplies that you need to do your research when that funding is uncertain. And institutions are the ones who receive this money, and they're very conservative. You know, if there's the potential for the research to stop, institutions don't want to be in the place where they have to take the bill, essentially, for this work because of this and other policies that are hostile towards institutions. They're being very conservative in all this right now.
Do you have a sense of what's going to happen to the people who are going to, or who have lost their jobs? Do you think they'll still continue to work in the health research field?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So, it's only been what? It's been 3 months into the Trump administration, and we ran a poll at Nature of our readers, which are mainly researchers, and we wanted to see how people are thinking about all of this uncertainty right now. And a whopping 75% of the respondents on this informal poll said that they were considering leaving the United States. So it's already having a massive effect because their researchers are seeing the writing on the wall. They're seeing the uncertainty, the growing list of topics that the Trump administration doesn't want to fund. They're seeing that these are not the conditions in which they would like to do their research. And so they're looking for funding elsewhere. People are trying to see if private funders are willing. But like I said, there's just nothing like the National Institutes of Health in terms of how much money they dole out. And they're looking to other countries. So I think we not only will see, we are seeing an exodus, a brain drain of talented researchers from this country.
So even though there's nothing comparable to the NIH, where might people go? I mean, would they go to, I don't know, France, Germany, or Japan? Where would they go, you think?
I think that Canada has been trying to recruit people relentlessly. Australia, Europe, all of these places have existing robust research infrastructures, and they're seeing that this group of very talented and very well qualified people are looking for opportunities elsewhere, and they're trying to take advantage of this, which again is great for them and not so good for the future competitiveness of the United States as a player on the global stage for our scientific research and research and development.
As part of the ripple effect, do you think this is going to affect up and coming younger people who are studying medical and health related research? Do you think that that would make them less likely to want to work in that field? I mean,
Oh,
obviously, there's
yes.
other places you can get work, but yeah.
Oh, yes. In speaking with the former director of the NIH, Monica Bertagnoli, she has emphasized to me again and again that she's most worried about in all of this, she's most worried about the youngest to the earliest career researchers because they are our next generation of scientists. And again, they're seeing the writing on the wall. They're seeing there are fewer and fewer opportunities. PhDs, postdocs are being rescinded because institutions and researchers don't know if they will have the funding because of all this uncertainty. I also spoke with Shirley Tilghman, who used to be the president of Princeton University, and she said that we're essentially telling the next generation of budding scientists, never mind. And so I don't think we're going to even appreciate the consequences of all this, of these actions in the last 3 months alone. Because they'll be felt for generations to come.
And other government health related organizations like CDC, they are also being hit just as hard, you would say?
Oh, yes. My bread and butter is just the NIH. It's what I've been covering mainly, but I have very talented colleagues who have also covered other health agencies, CDC, HHS more broadly. That's what RFK Jr. is leading right now, FDA. And, there was just a mass restructuring or really firing of health personnel such that, just thousands and thousands of folks who work in this field were laid off. And so that's already having an effect on the administrative functions. I mean, entire labs who are responsible for HIV prevention and lead poisoning response were laid off. And so we are less prepared as a country to face these challenges as they come up, both in basic scientific research at the NIH funds, but also outbreak response and surveillance at CDC and drug approvals at FDA.
Well, assuming that this doesn't go on forever, that somehow the country starts to recover from all these budget cuts, how difficult will it be to get back to speed in some of these agencies? And well, as long as we're talking about NIH, well, what about that?
I think that again, it's only been 3 months, and even if you turn back the clock tomorrow, I think that you would still not see the scientific enterprise go back to where it was because folks are already looking for the exit. Because to be quite honest, researchers around the world are looking at the United States and they're seeing that the country is not a trustworthy partner in collaboration. And so it's frayed many of those relationships that, you know, were built over decades, especially in the global health space where the United States is funding personnel to go around the world to help understand HIV prevention and HIV prevention methods or develop antivirals, you know, that might not be responsive to something that's happening directly here in this country, but it might be, and it probably will be at some point in the future, because that's the nature of pathogens that they spread. So we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot in being able to collaborate on those endeavors and to make sure that the United States is prepared to deal with whatever comes its way, even if the clock were turned back tomorrow, let alone in 3 years.
In addition to whatever individual countries may be doing, is there an international type organization that can pick up some of the slack? I don't know what that would be. WHO, maybe?
Yeah, the WHO is an important player on the global stage. However, the United States pulled its support from the organization and it made up a large portion of its annual budget and personnel-wise as well. The CDC and other scientists in the United States would collaborate and share intel with the WHO. So that relationship is also quite frayed because it works both ways. The WHO relies on the United States for personnel and funding, and the U.S. relies on the WHO to help monitor and respond to outbreaks around the world. And so it's not like the, you know, WHO can just go in and make that funding void, you know, fill it with funding elsewhere. So it is kind of a lose-lose situation. And that's just one example of many. So I think other organizations will try to fill the void. But like I said, the NIH people have described as a crown jewel of the federal government.
That's Nature Magazine science reporter Max Kozlov speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on April 15th, 2025.